too torqued out when strange things come our way. And there was a reason why God sent us the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the believer ears to hear what he's saying. So you let the prophet speak and the rest judge. I hope you are judging. I hope you got some practice to be able to extract the precious from the worthless and to hear and to know and discern the truth. Thank you, Adam, by the way. We're a body. We need each other. We desperately need each other. It shouldn't surprise us, okay? I just want to say, we believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. We believe that Paul and Titus and all those other people were godly men sent. I don't believe what he said, that Paul was someone we shouldn't listen to, if you were catching what he said there. They were not the spokesman of God. So when he said that God loves us, I agreed with him. So there were some things. So enough of that. But we need to be children of God, ready to discern what's going on and not be shaken. Not be shaken. Yeah. Right. So, bless Ray and his wife. And so, last week, Louis made a statement about the Holy Spirit, which I can't shake. And maybe many of you can't shake it either. I was hoping you wouldn't leave quite yet, John. You gotta go. Yeah. He's gone. But anyway, what I was going to say is that the Holy Spirit is necessary. And for John to have a wife... Okay, enough said. All I said is Louis made the statement that the Holy Spirit is necessary. And you heard what I said, right? And for John to have a wife, it is probably just as necessary. So anyway, are we able to bring up this PowerPoint or not? Or did everything just go dead? Ah. The promised Holy Spirit. What I'm hoping to get through today, what I felt God was on our heart, is that we would all catch the fact that the Holy Spirit for us was not something that was an option. It's not an optional thing, you know. Should I be filled with the Holy Spirit or shouldn't I? Maybe that's for the charismatics and the Pentecostals. But I'm not, no, the terms that men have come up with that call groups this and that, but God has a plan for His people, and God wants certain things, and I believe that God intended for us, and it was His purpose and His plan for us to have the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an option. Like you can get heated seats or not heated seats. You know. No, the Holy Spirit is probably more like the engine of the car. Without it, it looks like a car. It has tires like a car. And it does everything, but it doesn't go any place. Unless you push it. From the outside, it may still look good. Maybe a Ferrari or something. Depends on how you dress it up. But without the Holy Spirit, it ain't going no place. And that's how the church is. Without the Holy Spirit, we're probably not going any place. So Lord, just help me go through these scriptures and that we would see how necessary it is. I was wondering, we sometimes don't know who's preaching, but and I was gone. I was at a conference with Chuck Porta, which was an excellent conference. There were 15 speakers. And they were all vying for a time because Chuck only gives them, was it 14 minutes and 26 seconds. And so they would stand up there and say, well, I understand. I was talking to this guy, and he said his time was going to be short, so I'm going to take some of his minutes. You know, and they were... And that was pretty funny. But anyway, when Roger, when you stood up and started reading from Joel, well, from Acts about Joel, it'll come to pass. Do you realize that this Holy Spirit was prophesied from old that we would receive the Holy Spirit? It'll come about after this. I'll pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. What did I get? Okay, Joel 2:28. I'm only one chapter off. That's not too bad. You see, when it's working right, you judge me as I go, right? If you tell me to sit down, I will sit down. You might want to ask yourself, do you get visions, dreams? Are you prophesying? Because this is what the Holy Spirit is about. It's not about some special people up there. It's about us. It's about His children. It's about you. It's about all of us. We're all to be prophesying. We're all to be experiencing things of the Holy Spirit. It's for all of us to have visions and dreams. Sometimes we discount the things that happen in our life as whatever. But I think we need to take more seriously that the Holy Spirit wants us to have these things. We believe that this probably isn't completely filled yet, that this happened at Pentecost, but that there is a greater outpouring in the very last days that will be coming. The early rains and the latter rains. I don't know that the Holy Spirit will be poured out more, but man's hearts will be opened more. We will be able to receive more. There will be more going on in this earth concerning the Holy Spirit in the last days. We've seen tastes of that. I was in a taste of that in the 70s where there was a greater manifestation of God's Spirit amongst us. I hunger for that. So, here John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So you can always remember that John 3:16 is good, and so is Luke 3:16. 3:16s, there's a couple of them that you want to put in remembrance. Jesus fully intended to pray to the Father, receive the Holy Spirit, and give it to us. That wasn't something that he was an afterthought. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father, wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So Jesus is reminding them that this is important. We need to take this into our heart. This is important. Verse 8, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." You want some power evangelism? You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the guys down there, Mark Anderson, you met Mark Anderson, remember? He was a slim guy. He was suffering of cancer, had a cane, spoke last time. Well, this time there was no cane, and he's carrying all kinds of books, and he's walking in. I thought, man, I didn't think I'd see him this year. But he was speaking about chicken evangelism. Because he said he's the biggest chicken out there. He said, "I found out that that when the Holy Spirit was prompting him to go talk to somebody, it works. It works." He said, "I go up there and odd times," he said. I just go and said, "You know, would you like to know about Jesus?" "Yes, I would." I mean, he was getting all these "yes, I would." You know, people are, you know, you just have to be following, but not be a chicken. Well, even if you are a chicken, let the Holy Spirit, let the power of God move in your heart to say, "Okay, yes, Lord, I'll do that." You know, let's not neglect what God has given us and for the purpose that He gave it. However, this new wine, and this new wine is the Holy Spirit that's coming. I'm telling you, you must be born again. You try, and the Holy Spirit, He'll blow up in you if you try to do it in the flesh. The Holy Spirit and the flesh really don't go together. But you have to put this new wine in a new wineskin. That's why we must be born again. The Holy Spirit comes into someone who is heavenly. The Holy Spirit resides in those who are heavenly. You need a new wineskin. We must first be changed. God makes everything new. I want to say, though, that He makes beautiful things out of dust. How much more does He make out of things that begin in heaven? If He could make beautiful things out of dust, how much better is it when it comes from heaven? The first man was of the earth, earthy. But the second man was from heaven, heavenly. And He makes us new. But it's a new thing that comes from heaven. You are a heavenly being once you're born again. You are no longer an earthly being. You are a heavenly being sojourning through this land. You're an alien and a stranger here. But your home is in heaven. Your home is in heaven. Acts 2 again. "It shall come to pass in the last days," and Roger read this, And I'll pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. How many of you ever read the story of Gerald Durstein? Poor guy. Him and some pastors, another pastor, Fred Rodman, back in the 50s, were praying in Detroit Lakes for a move of the Holy Spirit. Fred Rodman pastored a denominational church there. And Gerald Durstein was a Mennonite. And Gerald Durstein used to take kids, native kids, and have camp with them during the summer. So he's up there at this camp, and they're just having a nice little camp meeting. And the Holy Spirit said, "This is a good time to show forth my power." And the Holy Spirit fell on these kids. Now this one would get it, this one, the Holy Spirit would come on them, and they would just fall over, and they're laying on the floor. Gerald Durstein thought this poor kid must be sick. But he wouldn't wake up, so they're dragging him into the back room to minister, to take care of him, you know. And they barely get him back and put him on a couch, and they come back and there's more. And they don't know what to do with all this stuff. Well, then these kids started getting up. And when they got up off the floor, these kids who had never read the Bible are prophesying. And they're prophesying Scripture. They're prophesying things clear. And Gerald Durstein knows the Scripture, and he's hearing this come out of these kids, and he doesn't know what to do. Well, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit fell upon those kids. This is a good thing. This is a wonderful thing. We need it. The trouble is God took the simple things. And those little kids who did not know the Scripture, God said, "I can use those because they're not resisting." But we, who know too much, sometimes might get into a resistance. We might say, "Well, we really don't need the Spirit, you know. Holy Spirit took the car up to the top of the hill. We'll just take the engine out and coast the rest of the way. We don't need the engine anymore." I said, "We say we're rich and need nothing." Yeah, we're rich and we don't need nothing. Well, the point is we do need. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit to continue on. You cannot continue on one more day without the Holy Spirit. It is necessary. Pentecost was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. We should ask ourselves, how often do I prophesy? I think we've made prophecy into something mystical. Something, I mean, I've been at meetings where when people prophesy, I mean, they're going to prophesy, but they prophesy in the King James dialect. It's not about that. It's about speaking the truth. It's about speaking out what God is saying in a meeting. It's about speaking forth what you believe God is going to say. It's about opening up your mouth and speaking by faith what God is saying to you. And I know we hear from the Lord. It's just that we don't sometimes equate that with prophesy. A believer should think of prophecy as normal Christian behavior. It's not outside the box. It should be normal behavior. And I'm going to say this, listen, it costs Jesus his life on this earth to cleanse you and qualify you to receive the Holy Spirit. It cost him his life that he might give forth his Holy Spirit to us. Yes, to give us eternal life, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit. And to just say, I'll take eternal life, but this Holy Spirit, I don't know if I want that. I think, you know what would make me say that? There's only one thing that would make me say that, and that's pride. Because the Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we, because we're not going to follow the law, we are given the Holy Spirit because that's who we're following. And if you say you don't need the Holy Spirit, you say, I can do it on my own, Lord. I can do it without you. I thank you for the eternal life. I'm going to go and I can do it without you. I don't need your Holy Spirit to lead me. I don't need your Holy Spirit. I can do this on my own. It's absolutely necessary. Jesus is praying, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Does that sound like an option? I don't think so. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. That just should tip us over just a little bit. If we don't want to receive the Holy Spirit, we may be identifying with the wrong thing. Which the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and He'll be in you. Now, I'll make a statement that some of you may not like. The Holy Spirit makes living in this world comfortable. How about that statement? I just took that from the first one. It's just not in this particular one, but he said he gave us the Comforter. The Comforter makes things comfortable. Did you know that trial and tribulation can be comfortable? It can be comfortable if you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can make things comfortable for you even when things are, according to worldly standards, falling apart. Your whole life is falling apart. But the Holy Spirit comes and He comforts you. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. It's not an option either. Tribulation is not an option. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be comfortable. I've overcome the world. It's okay. You know, you can just picture a little kid, right? And he's being bullied by this big guy, and they're in the back alley. But what the big guy doesn't know is this little kid's got two huge brothers that make this bully seem like a dwarf, and they're just around the corner. So the little kid, he's okay. He's okay with this situation. He's not being intimidated because he's got something bigger. He's got something better. We have God on our side, who do you think could be against us? That we should be so nervous We should be so uncomfortable with this situation that we're in that it should cause me great tribulation. I mean, I don't know what to do with myself. And we get all anxious and we get all kinds of... because we have not believed what God has done for us. You know, it's Mother's Day. And I was just thinking about our country and all the single parent families because of sin and all the things. God didn't intend kids to grow up with single parents. But I want to just encourage you, if you are a single parent, you can make it with God. But that wasn't His intention. The pattern was for a mom and a dad and children. The church that refuses the Holy Spirit is a single family church. It's a single parent church. It's a church without the Holy Spirit. It's like a church that only has one parent. That's the thought I had. God gave us the full package. Let's not miss out on all that God gave us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Any other comforter is not according to God's plan. If you're looking for comfort someplace else, you like that country western song, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for comfort in all the wrong places. It's the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will get you through. It's His comfort that'll make it possible for you to go through whatever trial you're in. And whatever hope you have will come from Him. On the last day of the feast, the great feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This Spirit in us, this is an awesome thing. This is an awesome thing. It's like an artesian well. When you have the Holy Spirit, there's a constant flowing that goes on, a constant something rising up that when people are around you, when the world's around you, they may even get a drink. They may even get something from you, huh? But we need the Holy Spirit in the world. You're a carrier of that living water. You're a carrier of that, which Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." But it's Jesus. We cannot be a witness without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we, like Jesus, can offer living water. Just like Jesus did to the woman at the well. What did He say to the woman at the well? "But whoever drinks of this water I give him, he shall never thirst. But anyone who drinks of this water I'll give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up." He was telling that to the woman at the well about the Holy Spirit that was coming. I did notice here something, that those who believed in Him were to receive. So they believed in Jesus, and then they received. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is God's plan for us. This is God's plan. To be filled with the Spirit is God's plan for us. It's not an option. It's not something that we can say, well, maybe somebody wants it. But for me, I'm okay with just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't really need anything more. I'm telling you, the Scripture says we need it. And when Louis prophesied to us last, did you get that, Louis? When Louis prophesied to us last week, but you see, I don't think Louis realized he was prophesying. Would you? That's where we're at the church. That's what prophecy is. Speaking what God's put on your heart to others. It's not scary. It's not something that's way out there. We needed that, by the way, that word. That word was necessary for us. But the word he gave was that he said, I want to have the wind come through our church of the Holy Spirit. How did he put that? It's not just a good desire. It's necessary for it to happen. It's necessary for the Holy Spirit to come. We who believe are a new creation, originated in heaven, not earth, and we are qualified. The Father qualified you. You are qualified. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe He died and rose again from the dead, if you believe that His blood satisfied heaven concerning your sin and the justice concerning your sin. If you believe that His blood satisfied heaven, and if you believe that when He died at the cross, you died at the cross, and through His resurrection that He became a life-giving Spirit, and that if you believe in Him, you receive that Spirit, and you're born again, but He qualified you. He qualified you at the cross. I think what we should say is thank you very much. Thank you very much. The church has tried to sneak in ways, and I want to just say that you can rebuke me if you want. Try to be kind to me. But I want to say this, that the church has tried to sneak in ways that make you believe that you've qualified yourself. And I don't think that's scriptural. I think God qualified you. It wasn't that you said, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, Lord, forgive me my sins, and then come into my heart. You didn't qualify yourself by doing that. You didn't qualify yourself by confessing your sins. That's not what qualified you. Through doing that, you might have received some forgiveness from God. But the qualification happened at the cross without your permission. He qualified you. You are qualified. He who believes in me has eternal life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't confess our sins, but I'm telling you that didn't qualify you. You were qualified by Christ and Him alone, what He did at the cross. What we do is believe what He did. by faith. And even that faith comes from God. But believe Him and believe that He has sent His Holy Spirit for us. Okay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you now both see and hear. Part of what God was doing through His Son Jesus was to fulfill and give us the promise of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus died, He went up and received that promise, and He poured it forth. And they saw it at Pentecost. It's not an option. It's God's plan. It's God's plan for all of us to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. It's necessary. I mean, even the terminology. He pours. Doesn't that sound like water? I mean, it comes into us. It fills us up. Have you ever poured water into a funny-shaped glass? It fills it all up anyway. The Holy Spirit can fill you up. I don't care what shape you're in. He can fill you up. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, they heard Peter preach his first sermon, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to Himself." So there. The repentance, you know what the repentance is? It's turning from this world and the kingdom of darkness to Jesus. It's not just repentance of a few sins. It's the repentance of sin. It's the repentance of who we are in the flesh. It's a repentance of a whole life. He who loses his life finds it. It's a repentance from the whole thing. Don't just think you got to repent from a few sins. You got to repent from sin, the whole thing. I mean, turn from the whole thing. Jesus already judged it anyway. Do you know that everybody in the flesh will perish? Because it's already, judgment has already come. Judgment has already come. And this is a judgment. Those who believe in me will not be judged. Those who do not believe in me have been judged already. It's already finished. It's done. They will perish. Jesus came up out of the tomb, the firstborn from the dead, and became a life-giving spirit. All who believe in Him are born again through the resurrection of Jesus. And we are filled with the Spirit, the promised gift. A life short of the Holy Spirit is minimizing Jesus' work at the cross. It's minimizing what He did to say, "I don't need the Holy Spirit." It's a prideful person that doesn't need the Holy Spirit to lead him. So this is the only thing I want to find out from you. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit because you were so good? Because you had done some great things? Went to seminary, and I've studied the Bible, and I know all about this, Lord. Now maybe you can fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's not it. I think that's why in that Gerald Durstein, he took some kids who didn't even know the Bible. They didn't know anything. And the Holy Spirit fell on them and they came up prophesying. You know, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we were counseling with people who had all kinds of problems. And we didn't know what to do. We had to just say, Lord, help us. And we'd open the Bible and we'd start ministering and the guy gets set free. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing. We know too much. We need to get back to just believing and knowing that the Holy Spirit knows it all. We don't. Last page. Just for those of you who are wondering. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out all over all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. We need evangelists. We need the word being preached. We need to be preaching the word of God. Chuck Colson, you know, his last thing he was working on was this spiral of silence. That the world is going into a spiral of silence where we don't speak. That's why we don't prophesy too much anymore, because we've quit speaking for God. Even in our meetings, we don't prophesy that much. That's why it's so refreshing when someone does prophesy. The word in Hebrew says, do not throw off your confidence. And the other words for confidence in Hebrew, therefore, you look it up in the Greek, and it says, do not throw off your free speech. Do not throw off your free speech. Continue to speak for me. Continue to let the Holy Spirit come out and be a voice, not an echo. Heard that from Chuck Porter. But be a voice. So it takes the Holy Spirit, though, to do that. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. We can't prophesy without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. There's nothing standing in your way. The down payment of the inheritance is the Holy Spirit. And they're all received by believing. Now, I'm just whetting your appetite today. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not an option. It's not an option. And if you've heard anything today at all, receive what God has for you. Now, if someone wants to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can do that today. I'm not saying that. But there's more to come. We're on a road to June 8th. You know what June 8th is? Pentecost. June 8th is the celebration of Pentecost. And I can't get that out of my heart. I don't know what we're going to do that day. But I do know this, that the Holy Spirit is for today. You don't have to wait till June 8th. That's just a celebration of what God has already done. So, if anybody wants prayer for the Holy Spirit, if the Lord has touched you today somehow and you say, you know, I want that, I would say that that's the Lord doing something, not just you. And if the Lord hasn't spoken to anybody, that's fine too. But we know, we want to be reminded that it's not an option. The Holy Spirit isn't an option. It's totally necessary. So you got a song you're going to sing, I guess?
Yeah.
Good.